Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, I'm high blue Monday. Got to work, plan to sleep all day. Here come Tuesday.
In the current environment, the answer cannot be to vilify all American Muslims or to drive them into hiding in this country. Now more than ever, we need to work with the Muslim community, and it's not just a monolith. It is communities across the country to encourage them to help us help them if they see somebody traveling in the wrong direction in their own community.
It leaves you speechless. This is the head of the Department of Homeland Security, who in any other nation would have been fired at the very least, if not indicted for, malpractice. The terrorist attack occurred last week, and this jerk is telling us not to vilify Muslims. And to top it off, he's going to hold a press conference this afternoon at a mosque tied to Muslim Brotherhood, Hamas. This is Jed Johnson. Does anyone know who this man is? Does anyone know why Obama has not fired him? Does anyone know why this jerk still has his job? The answer is quite clear, because we have no opposition press, no opposition party, and the people are completely stymied, not knowing why this government is so soft-peddling Muslim terrorism in America and around the world. Now, having said that, this is a very difficult issue for all of us. They bend over backwards to, let us say, sanctify the Muslim community and the Islamic religion. And yet they're not too sensitive to vilify all Christians or all gun owners. Every speech out of these people's mouths is about how bad gun owners are. They don't trust you. Now, why do they trust all Muslims and no gun owners? What's that about? Why does Obama have such a caustic view of Christianity and Christians, such as, example, he brought up the Crusades a few months ago, remember that? Never talks about the Muslim crusade that is ongoing around the world. Now, again, this is a tough problem. It's a tough problem for all of us. People in this country are furious right now. They know the government is either incompetent or, let us put it to you this way, working for the other side. And I'm sure as I stand here that there are those within the government who are working for the other side. You say, well, that's paranoid. No, it isn't. 72 members of the Department of Homeland Security, 72 of them, 72 members of this moron's DHS are on a watch list by various divisions of the government. Do you have any idea what that means? Can you figure out all the moving parts to this deceit, this grand deceit that's going on? I think that some of them are just stunned that they've gotten away with so much for so long. 72 people in Department of Homeland Security are what? You didn't see the article? On terrorist watch list. And here's the head of the Department of Homeland Security, Jed Johnson, telling us not to vilify Muslims. Representative Steve Lynch, Democrat Massachusetts, said that 72 employees of this fool at DHS are listed on the U.S. terrorist watch list, according to this Democrat lawmaker. Can you believe this? Now, why is he not being forced to resign? Why? Well, you have to figure it out for yourself, boys and girls. We're living not in strange times, but eerie times. They're eerie. I had intended to start the show by talking about my dog, Teddy, because I said is enough. People can only take this terrorism for so long. But when you have this entire establishment in sync with each other, saying the same exact things with Lynch, saying that anyone whose speech approaches this or that is going to be looked at. Then she modified it. She didn't mean speech. She meant actions. But she did what she had to do. Her boss man told her what to do. That's right. Her controller said, you go out and you threaten anyone who says one word about Muslims that we're going to crack down on them. That's what she said Friday. Remember that speech? That's the head attorney general, her attorney, the number one law enforcement official in the United States of America, told us, no, don't even think what you know to be true. So how do we deal with this problem? Well, it's logical. What you do is you bring in as many Muslims as you can, as fast as you can, without vetting them. That's smart. Especially from Somalia. You make certain you're bringing in as many Somalis as you can, because as you well know, that's not a terrorist hotbed. This is what your government's doing. They're bringing in refugees by the tens of thousands as quickly as they can until a saturation point is reached, after which point it will be impossible to deport the bad ones. You heard me, D-E-P-O-R-T, it's a word in the dictionary. There's a law on the books for deportation. What sane nation brings people in from a hotbed of, a nation with that's a hotbed of terrorism in a time of terror? I was going to ask you today, but I didn't ask you that. Instead, I went on to this. Because it's getting madder by the second, because they're escalating their, let us put it this way, their madness. There's so many different ways to say what Obama is doing and not doing, and I'm sure you've heard them all. The only question remains is, what do you do about it? That's the only thing you ask yourself every day. What do you do about it to protect yourself and your families from the next Muslim terror attack? It's not going to be a Buddhist who comes into your mall with a machine gun. It's not going to be a Hindu that comes into your mall with a machine gun, etc. You get the picture. So you can't vilify all Muslims. We know that. It'd be crazy to say that. But on the other hand, people are saying it. Whether you want to hear it or not, that's what people in America are thinking, and that's what they're saying. They're saying if all the terrorists are coming out of one religion, then there must be some fundamental problem with that religion. Isn't that a logical thing to say? Let me ask you something. If you're a Buddhist, do your Buddhist teachings tell you that if you see a non-Buddhist, to convert them or kill them? I have the Buddhist teachings right in my hand, the teaching of Buddha. I don't see anything in the Buddhist Bible, so to speak, because there is no Bible. It's a collection of sayings. There's no leader of Buddhism. There's no head guy. It's sayings, the theory of mind only, the real state of things. To a man, a river seems like a river, but to a hungry demon which sees fire and water, it may seem to be like fire. Therefore, to speak to a man about a river existing would have some sense, but to the demon, it would have no meaning. In like manner, it can be said that things are like illusions. They can be said neither to be existent nor non-existent. And so that's Buddhism. Doesn't talk anything about the infidel, about cutting the throat of the infidel, about killing the infidel, about charging the infidel tax. It doesn't talk about mutilating young girls to deny them sexual gratification. Nothing in this Buddhist teaching does that. Now let's pick up the next religious book, and the next, and the next, and the next, until we all come with our breathlessness to the one book that teaches things that you cannot believe are even being put in print these days. So you say, well, most Muslims don't believe that. No, they don't. So what do you do with those who do? Like the two who machine gunned the people last week in California. He read the book cover to cover. She read the book cover to cover over and over and over and over again, brainwashing themselves with the hatred. So if the government says, and rightly so, you can't vilify all Muslims for the acts of a very small number, although the small number is getting a little larger over the last days and months and years. Seems to be metastasizing under Mr. Hussein Obama. Doesn't seem to be contained. The virus is spreading. The cancer is spreading around the world. It is not being contained. And so the question comes back to, what do we do about it? Now, we all are stymied by our freedoms, and we are imprisoned by this Trojan horse of our freedoms. Freedom of religion, freedom of speech, Second Amendment. We all love these amendments, don't we? And, of course, we want them applied to ourselves, but not to others. That's the problem. We like our freedom of religion because our religion doesn't teach hatred and murder. But you can't then apply it only to Muslims. because their book does teach hatred and murder. I'm not making it up. I wouldn't say it. 132 places it calls for hurting the infidel. And so we're all suffering, not knowing what to do, so we're buying guns. Gun stock soar. Smith & Wesson highest sales since 07. Sheriff says licensed owners have a responsibility to carry. Document reveals ISIS plot for world domination in chilling detail. Did you hear my guest on Friday, Waleed Shobat, a man who used to be a member of a terrorist group called the Palestine Liberation Organization? Did you hear what he said on the show when I asked him, how does this end? He said, it doesn't end until millions of us are dead. He said, that's the only way anything will change in this country of ours. You know, from having talked to your liberal relatives and liberal friends on a daily basis, that they are brainwashed and they're ignoramuses, and nothing will change their mind. They don't even know about San Bernardino. It wasn't even a blip, maybe a blip, on their mental landscape last week. They see no evil, they hear no evil, they don't connect it to Islam, they don't connect it to individuals, they don't want to know it's connected to jihad and a worldwide war, they don't care. That is the difference between this generation and the generation that defeated Hitler. Yes, you see, America was a fun-loving nation in the 1930s, I read, and Hitler thought he could conquer America as well. They used to laugh. He had trained his boys to kill from birth. Did you know the Hitler youth were trained very much like the Palestinians are training their youth right now? Trained to hate, trained to kill, trained to murder, trained to burn, trained to not feel anything while they take human life. Hitler did that with his Hitler youth. Did you know that? And so therefore they emboldened themselves saying, look at those weak British, look at those weak Americans, look at those weak French. They'll never fight back. Well, thank God Hitler was wrong. Thank God Hitler was wrong, because the West did fight back and they crushed him forever. They destroyed the thousand-year Reich. So once again, we're facing a terrorist enemy who thinks that we're weak and we will not fight back. And they're wrong. We will fight back. If we can survive the plague of Barack Obama, if we can survive the plague of the psychosis of liberalism another year, if we can survive it, and if that Harrington Hillary Clinton is found out to be what she is, which is a continuation of him in a skirt. That's just two ifs. We will defeat them. They will be destroyed. I can guarantee you, as I stand here, the world will not put up with this forever. And it was only because of Russia that stood up to them that suddenly the British are now bombing them. The French are now bombing them. Not because of Obama. It was because of Putin, the man that Obama hates, that there's an actual air war against some, and I say some, of the targets of this ISIS. Now, who is ISIS? We keep hearing ISIS, ISIS, Shmisis. Who are they? Where did these Muslims come from? They weren't hatched out of an egg on Mars and brought here. I want you to think about this. The Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, some say of the Levant, I get it, I understand that. We've talked about it weeks ago. The Levant means a much broader land area. Where they come from? Who are they? Who's running them? Let's talk about that when I return, and my dog Teddy, which is a far more interesting topic on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Everyone's asking who Jet Johnson is, the head of This shadowy man, no one knows who he is. He failed us in Boston. I believe he was, I don't know if he was homeland, but let's say he failed us last week, and he went silent and dark. No one heard from him. Now he pops up and says, watch out for hateful speech. Copying what Lynch said the other day, whatever her first name is. Who is this man? How can they take people like this and make them in charge of protecting us? What does the name Jem mean? It's pronounced Jay. Taken from a Liberian chief who reportedly saved his grandfather's life, while his distinguished grandfather, Dr. Johnson, was on a League of Nations mission to Liberia in 1930. Okay, so now we know. Liberian chief. Very nice. Very good. And he was a trial lawyer for a big firm on Wall Street. He was born in New York City, the son of Norma, who worked for Planned Parenthood. Oh, okay. That's very reassuring. Okay, let's move on. He was an associate at Paul Weiss in New York, etc. You get the picture. Worked for Bill Clinton, worked his way up, blah, blah, blah. Obama loved him so much, he made him the head of the Department of Homeland Security, where he's done a knock-up job, just the greatest job in the world. Fantastic job. Wonderful Democrat liberal. Just what you'd expect. Disappears after a terrorist attack, and then tells us not to say the wrong thing about Muslims. So, okay, here we are. So who is ISIS? I started to get that early. The best I could figure it out, this is a direct result of Obama withdrawing troops from Iraq prematurely. When his general said, don't withdraw all American troops from Iraq because you're going to create a power vacuum, it's exactly what happened. So Obama owns ISIS. He created them. By taking all our troops out after they had died and been maimed, subduing and pacifying the Sunni triangle. Remember the Sunni triangle in the heyday of the Iraq war? This is now the cancer, the center of the cancer. All of these cities, Raqqa, all of these are in the Sunni triangle. Ask Marines and Rangers and common soldiers who fought there what a hellhole it is, how they treat women and children. Ask them what they saw. They were subdued. Obama said, now let's all leave Iraq and we'll all get along. Well, okay, he owns this. So these are Saddam Hussein's, the best I can figure out, extremely experienced, murderous, revolutionary guard. Do you remember when Bush went into Iraq, what happened? Remember he stopped at a certain point and people argued whether he should arrest or kill all of the members of the Iraq Revolutionary Guard. Remember that discussion? Well, here we are. The cancer is back. These are some of the worst murderers on, not some, they are the worst murderers on the planet. They're all trained in Saddam Hussein's army. And now they're spreading like a cancer around the world because we have no real opposition in the West. We have weaklings and corrupt politicians. And they know it. They know it. They know that we have corruption and weakness in the West. They know how the countries are run by corrupt, weak liberals. That's how they're functioning.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I made one mistake in the last part of my monologue. It just came to me. I'm just so distracted right now. I was talking about the Sunni Triangle being the center of this cancer of radical Islam, meaning ISIS right now. And I'm correct, but when I said Raqqa, I should have mentioned Raqqa is in Syria, not in Iraq. Nevertheless, that's irrelevant. What's relevant here is that these are battle-trained military officers behind ISIS. And what's shocking to me is that these are the very people that Saddam Hussein kept under control. So you could blame Bush for this as well if you want, by the way. You can blame Bush if you want. We have two morons in a row. 8 years of that moron, now 7 years of this idiot. 15 years, how much longer can the West survive if this is the best we can do in the West, is elect idiots like this? I mean, Bush, you can blame him for this too if you want. Okay, but what's the point of blaming anybody? It comes down to what are we going to do about it? Now we all say Second Amendment like we're all tough guys. Everyone's a tough guy. Everyone has a gun and they sit in home. If they come near me, I'll kill them. I've heard it all. We don't know how many of us will actually be able to use a gun if you are approached by it. Ask people who've actually used guns how many people freeze up when the time comes to actually defend themselves. They freeze. They turn white with fear. And they either drop the weapon or shoot themselves in the foot. I mean, be real about it. Everyone could be a tough guy in their bedroom with a loaded gun. Or go to a shooting range and shoot a paper target. Ask men who've been in combat or ask police who've been in shootouts what it's like to actually shoot back when you're being shot at. That's number two. So don't assume that because you have a gun, you're going to defend yourself. I'm glad you have a gun. Very good. It gives you a sense of confidence. And unto itself, that's nice. Wonderful. But that's not going to be enough. A government is supposed to protect you from even having to think about that. But because we have a quisling government, we're all worried. Isn't that the real reason we're even having this discussion? Aren't we all worried that this guy is either too weak or too much of an academic liberal or so wed to the ideology of his the doxies of liberalism that he can't protect us. That's the nice view of Obama, that he's just a diehard liberal and a university type and very pensive and thinks things through, not allowed, and that's why he does these things. All the way across the spectrum to he does it because he's on their side. I've heard it all. At the end of the day, we don't know what to do. That's why we're even talking about it. If we had a vigorous leader like Putin or Trump, let's say, we wouldn't even be having this discussion. We'd be in the streets cheering on television sets as we see their buildings going up in smoke. You remember the early days of the Iraq War, how we all watched television? The days of shock and awe, where there was that campaign run by General Schwarzkopf. God, where is he now that we need him? Where is there one general we can all rally behind who goes on television, shows us pictures of their command and control centers and their ammo dumps and their training camps being destroyed in a bombing campaign, a 72-hour campaign, and then the tanks go in and crush them? Where is that? Where is that? Now, here's the thing to worry about. The very thing that these psychos want is to draw us back into another ground war. You do know that. I hope you understand that that is Obama's conundrum. He knows that as well as I do and as well as you do. He's trapped in a way. So he's very cautious. Let's take the nice view of Obama, that he's not really one of the bad ones. He's just simply an academic liberal who wants to be as peaceful as he can and still get the job done. He doesn't want to overdo it. He doesn't want to escalate to nukes, for example. He doesn't want to send in ground troops. He doesn't want to send in heavy bombers. He wants to send in an occasional, you know, plane and then have them not even drop bombs. Make it look like he's doing something. It's not because he doesn't want them wiped out, but he's so afraid of collateral damage that he doesn't even send the planes to do their job. That's the nice view. Well, I don't know if it's the correct view, though. Nor does it really matter. What we really need is someone to bomb them so they're no longer there. If they've taken over a city like Raqqa, so there's a logical answer. I'm afraid it's a logical answer, and it's a horrible thing to say. It's called collateral damage. They hide behind women and children anyway. You well know that. That's just the stock and trade of these people. They hide behind women and children. They use them as human shields. Harry Truman faced the same problem with Japan. FDR and then Harry Truman faced the same problem with Germany. Do you think they wanted to burn every child alive in Dresden? You think they wanted to kill every old woman and every German child when they firebombed Dresden? No, but they firebombed Dresden. Horrible thing to witness. Of course, you don't hear about the firebombing of London that went on endlessly by the Nazis. All you hear about from the liberal the academics is the firebombing of Dresden and how bad we were. Or then you hear about Hiroshima and Nagasaki, as horrendous as it was. That's all you hear about. You hear nothing about what Japan did, nor what Japan would do, nor what Japan was trying to do. All you hear about is Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and we're a racist, genocidal nation. That's the liberal mantra that your daughter is being taught in your sick universities. We're going to have a wartime consigliere during a time of war. Right now we have Frito running America. We have Frito running America, not the Don himself, and we're looking for the Don. Where is this Don? I could play the Frito tape, but that'll take too much to even say it. I'll lose my voice if I have to call for it, so I won't. Okay, so we have a Second Amendment. We're all happy. We're all John Wayne. We're all John Wayne in our pajamas at night. Everyone's playing with their gun. Everyone's oiling it. Let that guy come, my doll, I'll blow him away. Everyone's a tough guy. It's like everybody's a great lover in their own mind. Everyone's a great warrior in their own mind. But none of us know how we're going to actually behave in either of those acts until we're in them. Until we're in that situation. That's the absolute truth. You ask guys in combat, they'll tell you. Some guys who you think are kind of wimpy turn out to be ferocious warriors, and guys who look like they play the part of central casting hero freeze up, and they can't do the job. I mean, we don't know. You can't tell by looking at someone how they're going to react, incidentally. Either in bed or in warfare. Ask the women about that one. I'm trying to lighten this thing up a little bit, because I don't want to just stay on a monorail here. And so we don't really know how we're going to act. So what do you do in a time like this? How do you encourage yourself to not be afraid of these animals? What do you do? I can give you some techniques, some real easy ones. Many of you are scared to death right now. You're afraid that they're going to be in your neighborhood or in your bakery or in your supermarket. And given that we have academic fools running everything, it could happen. They've even told you, this is the new normal. You expect a bomb in your daughter's preschool. What the heck? Go ahead. Walk away cocktail. Nothing to see here. The Prez has to run off to the Lincoln Center right after his big speech. After Alfred E. Newman gave his speech, he ran to the Lincoln Center to congratulate himself with Steven Spielberg. Or the other moron, George Lucas. That's right. Last night he had to celebrate with George Lucas. Right after the speech. Had to dash off to the theater. So people are afraid. They don't know what to do. So they lock their doors. They got the gun, if they can have one in the state that they're in. And they try to make the best of it that they can. They try to keep their mind off it, or else they could go crazy. You can go nuts. You can scare yourself to death with anything, by the way. And you can't let that happen. So what techniques can you use? I can give you some. I'll give you a thumbnail sketch to make yourself feel stronger. I don't care if you're an 80-year-old woman. The next time you fear a Muslim terrorist blowing you up, go and do 5 push-ups and think how strong you are. How do you like that? It starts with the individual. How do you like? Sounds crazy, doesn't it? You haven't read that yet. You haven't seen it on ABC, CBS, or NBC. Every American has to strengthen himself. Every American has to make themselves stronger right now and not depend upon these morons in the government. Don't count on them because they failed you before and they're going to fail you again. And so whether or not you own a gun is almost irrelevant. What matters is that you feel strong inside, and you got to make yourself stronger inside. You got to toughen your mind and toughen your body. And that's one little technique. I'm giving you a baby technique. You feel frightened? Go and do 5 push-ups. Go run around the block. Go walk around the block. Go feel how strong you are. Stop being so afraid of everything. That's number one. Number two, and this can only apply to individuals who actually have it in their ancestry. How do you face a thing like this on a daily basis? Well, for one, you have to put it in context. Unless you are personally injured by one of these psychotics, or unless you know somebody who was, it's very remote. It's not even real to you. So you say, you know what? It's going to happen or it's not going to happen to me. And if it does, what can I do about it? That's called the fatalistic approach. And the Israelis live with that, by the way. They have a kind of existential reality that they have put a wall up between them and the murderers in the Palestinian territories, and they're going to live the best that they can. They still have babies. They still have weddings. They still have bar mitzvahs. They still play music. They still create great art. They have a great electronics industry. They have a great technology industry, and they don't let the animals drag them down into the first century. So you can't let the animals drag you down into the first century. You're never going to bring them up. Never. See, the liberal view is that if you treat them well and you treat them nicely, they'll come to understand and appreciate Western values. That's not how it works. Never worked that way. Never will. The barbarians will never become a modern man. Never. Never. They seethe with hatred for everything you have and everything you say and everything you do. And they're just waiting to cause harm. The barbarians, they are. And so you have to function in a kind of almost duality, which is, it's not going to happen to me, and if it does, what can I do about it? I'll protect myself the best way I can and go on with your life. Then there's a third way, and this is what I use. I've used this my whole life. Whenever I get down, I start to think I can't take this anymore. I can't take radio. It's dealing with a cancer on a daily basis. I've done it for 21 years. I'm a very successful author. I'm a successful broadcaster. What am I doing this for? Some days I ask myself, why do I need to be on the firing line? And I say to myself, you know, this is nothing. This is nothing. It's petty. You're not really suffering. It's nothing. You want suffering? Go and take a look at what happened to the Jews during the Holocaust, and you'll see suffering. And you'll see, how about those guys who went into the woods and joined the Russians and joined partisan units and fought the Nazis literally with sticks and stones till they stole their weapons, and they were warriors their entire life in the woods? How did they do that after seeing their families slaughtered? I was reading last night about a group from Belarus in Russia, Minsk. Minsk, an area of Minsk, that when the Nazis conquered Minsk, they did things that would make ISIS look like angels. They took Jewish children, threw them to dogs. Wild dogs. They threw little babies in front of their mothers to dogs and watched them eat the children, ripped them apart, and they made the Jewish families watch this. You have no idea how the depths to which human beings can go with evil. You haven't any. We have some idea, rather, with ISIS, but they're not even the lowest of the low. It's happened before in history. It's happening now, and it'll happen again. So you hear these stories. I was watching a TV show last night about the resistance fighters of Minsk, that after the city was leveled like this, where they hunted down every Jew and killed them or deported them, whatever they did, they then burned the city to the ground, the Nazis did. But there were those who survived and went into the woods. And there was a story about a 13-year-old kid, a little pipsqueak of a kid, 13 years old. He was the only one in his family who, I don't know how, somehow escaped, and he watched his whole family being killed. He, mother, father, sisters, brothers, grandmother, tortured and killed, hung from the balcony of their home by the Nazis. A horror that you could never imagine. What would happen here in this country if, God forbid, anything happened like that to you? You'd crack up, right? You'd need a shrink. You'd need, what, the flowers and the balloons? You need the balloons and therapy, lifetime therapy, government agents coming to help you. He ran into the woods and he joined the Russian partisan unit. He became such a ferocious fighter against Germans because all he wanted to do was kill them. That's all he wanted to do. He was wounded 5 times, and some of them were almost mortal wounds, this little kid. That at the end of the war, which he survived, he was granted, I think in the Russian military, it's called the Order of the Heroism or the Hero Badge or something like that. That even the great general, Marshal Zhukov, who had every medal known to mankind, said at the end of World War II, he said, you know, I have every medal except one, which is the Medal of Courage. Something along those lines. This little kid had that. And there's a whole museum dedicated to these fighters, somewhere in Israel, I believe, showing some of their helmets with holes in them. And stories and pictures, and there was a story about women, little women, 4'9", who were flying planes against the Germans with the Russians in the Air Force. Little women, who would you think could just make knishes and latkes. They became warriors. Who would have expected that, that there's such a fighting spirit? So what I'm saying to you is you have a fighting spirit in you. If you come from an ancestry of any kind, look at your ancestors. Let's say you're Irish. Let's forget the Jewish thing for a minute. You're telling me the Irish had it easy there in their history? You forget about the blight, the potato famine, how millions of Irish starved to death, which caused the exodus to America? How did the poor Irish survive with almost nothing, eating scraps? How about the Italians? How did they survive when they came here a few generations ago, living on next to nothing, maybe eating a pear? A whole day they had a pear for dinner. How'd they do that? They didn't need the government to give them a psychiatrist and a balloon and a little therapy. You're tougher than you think you are. Toughen yourself because you're going to have to. Anyway, back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO. All right, let's go backwards a little bit on the Savage Nation. There's some news that you should know about. Over the weekend, Friday night, a Muslim with a machete, slashed a man's throat, 60-year-old man in a subway station. And he shouted, this is for Syria. Machete, Syria revenge stabbing in London, now treated as terror attack. They didn't have to go to Barack Obama or Jed Johnson to know what it was. Muslim stabs man in neck in London subway, screams, this is for Syria, as Hussein Obama wants to bring in more of these vermin. I put it on Facebook, and 150-some-odd thousand people have joined the conversation. Then over the weekend, something good happened. Huge victory for nationalists in France. Nationalists win huge victory in France. Borders, language, culture. While here, disorder, hashtags, and clutter is what reigns. I like that. Disorder, hashtags, and clutter. What will it take for Americans to kick out the socialists and Islamists in America? I ask. Marine Le Pen's National Front leads in first round of French regional elections. I wonder why. I wonder why the nationalists are winning in France. Can anyone figure that out? Gee, I wonder what the heck would have caused that to happen in liberal France. Now, look, if it can happen in France, it can happen here. The problem is we don't have the nationalist party that I've called for in the last two books of mine. The conclusion of Government Zero is all about creating a third party, a nationalist party. It's a long haul, my friends. The closest thing we have to it is Donald Trump. He's a moderate nationalist. That's the closest thing we're going to come to saving this republic, in my opinion. Be here or be nowhere.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Monday, got to work, plan to sleep on deep. Here come Tuesday.
Studio once again. Once again, there's a little collapse. The old board operator, little old collapse on the Savage Nation. This is what you expect from a national talk show, a training ground. A training ground where we use training cups before we drink from a wine glass. Now, what I was going to play, which I requested before the show, was Attorney General Lynch in clip 4. You want to try that again, my friend? See if you can get it to play, or should we get a little fill-in over there? All right. Frozen up. Equipment does this. Savage Nation, 855-407-2822. Let's go to callers. Lisa on line number 7. Let's see if we can have a failure here now. Lisa, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you. Michael, I'm calling to thank you because I enjoy listening to your show in the afternoon when I drive to work. I have to thank you for all the little bits of history that you put into your conversations. Last week you were talking about Franklin Delano Roosevelt and the Delano family and what they did. And I think before that you were talking about Thomas Jefferson fighting the Barbary Pirates. And I love history, and I can't believe this wasn't covered in my education at school. So whenever I come home from work, I look these things up, I research them, and I'm fascinated by the things that I'm able to pick up from your show. And I just wanted to thank you because you're enriching my education, and I
am. Well, that's nice to hear, Lisa. Let me explain something. This is a product of a lifetime of learning, a lifetime of reading, and I have 3 higher degrees. But more than that, I'm a very curious man, and I read widely. And I think that unless we know our history, we're not capable of understanding what we're living through. So that's why I try to bring it into the show, Lisa. I'm sending you a copy of Government Zero for your edification on the Savage Nation. Whenever we have that clip ready, guys, it's like 5 minutes into the show. We're ready to play it. Yeah. Oh, good. Good. You're warmed up now. Fingers are nice, ready to go. Let's hear clip 4.
Now, obviously, this is a country that is based on free speech. But when it edges towards violence, when we see the potential for someone lifting that mantle of anti-Muslim rhetoric, or, as we saw after 9/11, violence directed at individuals who may not even be Muslims but may be perceived to be Muslims, and they will suffer just as well, just as much. When we see that, we will take action.
That is great. Our fearless Attorney General on Friday threatened anyone who said one word that she didn't like. Little Madame Defarge there, handpicked by Al Sharpton. Well, since she wants to prosecute people who have a potential of lifting that mantle of rhetoric to violence, I'd like to play clip 5 for those of you listening to the show and ask yourself if you think this lifts the mantle from rhetoric to action in clip 5. Go ahead now.
I'm looking for 10,000 in the midst of the million.
Million!
10,000 fearless men who say death is sweeter than to continue to live and bury our children while white folks give the killer hamburgers. So if the federal government will not intercede in our affairs, then we must rise up and kill those who kill us. Stop them and kill them and let them feel the pain of death that we are feeling.
My, my. And I haven't heard a word from Barry or from Loretta or from Jair about actions predicated on violent talk. Now, we realize that we have freedom of speech, and we know you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. But here's a man who said things that I think went over the line. But then again, as you know, there's a double standard in Animal Farm. As you well know, if you read your Orwell, some animals are more equal than others. But if you haven't read your Orwell, then you don't know what I'm referring to. There's another little saying, those who do not know the history are condemned to repeat it. And since most Americans don't know history whatsoever, and they have no feelings to go with that, we're in real trouble. Thinking about why people can't identify with those who were slaughtered last week, it's because they have no empathy. You have an entire generation of millennials who have almost no empathy whatsoever. They've grown up on Adderall, other drugs, and iPhones. They feel nothing unless it's inside a little device in their hand. They don't even know it's real. So to them, the event in San Bernardino is not real. It's something that occurred somewhere else. It has no, they don't identify with it, in other words. There's no empathy. So there's no unity. When there's no unity or empathy, it's a nation of disconnected souls. But nevertheless, that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. So after Loretta Lynch gave that speech on Friday saying that she's going to prosecute people who say anything that she doesn't like, she modified it today in clip three. Would you play that now? Let's hear three.
Well, what I will say is that, as of course, we prosecute deeds and not words, but we always have a concern.
All right, fine. Now she changed it to deeds, not words. All right. Deeds, not words, which I breathe a sigh of relief that she prosecutes only deeds, not words. That's nice to hear. Because on Friday, I was afraid she was going to send an army of government workers into all the bookstores in America, even into your home, to rip out certain pages of Government Zero. It might be rhetoric that she didn't like. I don't know. You never know what the government could do. They did have book burnings in previous fascist governments. And I realize liberals can't identify as fascists. But the fact of the matter is, I predicted this. Page 270 of Government Zero, I wrote this. They want to ban any speech critical of Islam. And I guarantee you Hussein in the White House is already drawing up plans to ban the criticism of Islam. It's in the book. I wrote the book months and months ago. They want to ban any speech critical of Islam, and I guarantee you Hussein in the White House is already drawing up plans to ban the criticism of Islam. And then on December 4th, 2015, Attorney General Loretta Lynch, handpicked by Al Sharpton, vows to prosecute anyone who uses anti-Muslim speech that edges toward violence. Well, once again, I, Michael Savage, predicted it before it happened. And I asked, what does edges toward violence really mean? It's whatever they want it to mean, whatever they want to make it to mean. So when you see you don't have liberals in the White House, but something entirely different, that should alarm all of you liberals out there who think you have liberals running the country, because you don't have liberals running the country. You have the opposite of liberals running the country. Let's take some calls. Petri on line one, KSFO. Go ahead, please.
Michael, please go easy on me, because I feel like I've gotten soft a little bit. I want to ask if we should give Obama a little bit of credit for his speech from the Oval Office yesterday, because it did sound like he had a little bit of patriotism going on in there, and I may have been fooled. I don't know if his lies are so good that they.
Okay, so what part of the great man's speech did you find encouraging?
He just spoke in that sense of like he was trying to shed the layers of his hatred towards the opposition, and he was trying to speak that whole unity bit about bringing the nation together and forgetting about differences. And even
let's hear the great man's speech last night before he dashed off to the theater to give George Lucas an award with all of the other Hollywood idiots that he loves so much. Let's listen to clip number 8 and see if that's inspiring from last
week.
We
cannot turn against one another by letting this fight be defined as a war between America and Islam. That, too, is what groups like ISIL want. ISIL does not speak for Islam. They are thugs and killers, part of a cult of death.
Wow.
And they account for a tiny fraction of more than a billion Muslims around the world, including millions of patriotic Muslim Americans who reject their hateful ideology.
Okay, tiny fraction? Well, they've grown pretty big for a tiny fraction. It's not so much the number of them, but it's the growth rate, my friend. It's like a disease. See, Professor Obama should know, as a great physician, that we all have little infections in our body at all times that our body fights off. But when our immune system is not functioning properly, a little infection can grow into a bigger infection, bigger, 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 until it can threaten the entire body itself. As Dr. Obama should know, when you don't treat an infection that's growing, why, it can become like a flesh-eating bacteria. Starts out small. Even dwarves started small. Great oaks from little acorns grow, Mr. Obama. You know that as a great healer and a great doctor. It's not the tiny fraction that we're worried about. It's how the tiny fraction has metastasized under your lack of watching, Mr. Obama, that has the whole world asking questions, Mr. Obama. Petri, does that answer your question?
I mean, obviously, listening to you, I slip into my normal ways of being objective and cynicism.
Well, no, I would rather you walk around with a feeling that everything is good now that Obama gave through some words down the pipe. Through some words at everyone, and then suddenly, what, the war on terror is won? Because he said a few words that weren't quite as stupid as they were a week before?
Well, now you got a point, because he forgot to slip in the climate change as the reason for all of the hate.
Oh, so that's what encouraged you, is that he didn't use climate change. Is that what was motivating them? I see. Oh, I didn't see it that way. You mean he's actually moved slightly off that subject for a while?
Yeah, it's funny how we actually, as humans, can be fooled sometimes so easily.
You sound like a very nice guy who borders on the naive guy.
Wow, yeah, well, come on, I'm admitting that I'm human, too. Don't get me wrong, I'm 100% Donald Trump all the way. In fact...
Yeah, but don't you want to believe in people? You're the type who actually likes people and has faith in them, right?
Yeah, but I got enough fury and hatred when I get angry going, too. So, I mean, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. Or actually, I am a hypocrite. We're all...
Well, Petri, do we know each other? Have we ever met in the city at any time? I think we did, didn't we?
No. I'm just an old, long-time caller. Remember I wrote you a tribute song about the Savage Nation?
I know your name. I mean, when you say Petri, I thought I immediately recognized it. Well, I'm sending you a Christmas gift. Kwanzaa, Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever you'd like to call it. Government Zero goes out to you back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. All right, welcome back to the Savage Nation. We're coming to the halfway point of this three-hour program. Here's an email to me on Facebook from Kimberly M. What a joke. Attorney General Lynch wants to prosecute people who lift the mantle of rhetoric towards violence regarding Islam, but not mosques where they preach hatred of the West, or Black Lives Matter who want dead cops. Yeah, you got it right. When you understand who Lynch is, and you understand that Al Sharpton handpicked her, then you'll understand what you have in the Attorney General's office. Black Lives Matter. Didn't they say pigs in a blanket? That means killing cops, didn't they? How many imams are preaching death to the West on a daily basis in America? You have to figure at least one. Did he go there yet? Did he go to the mosque yet today? I'm still waiting to hear about that. Our Department of Homeland Security is supposedly going there to give a speech. Did he get there yet? We don't know. I'm talking to myself. Oh, no, he hasn't arrived yet. He's going to be speaking at a mosque that's been tied up with terrorism today. Oh, yeah. Gets even better. This is not a black thing. This is not a white thing. This is really a survival thing. So all weekend, you know what I did? I try to get my mind off this hatred that's coming at all of us, freedom-loving Americans. This hatred coming from this regime of ours, this junta. It's like a junta. I called it a junta, not a regime. It's more like a South American junta than even a regime. Some named it a regime, I call it a junta. So, I haven't told you this, and I don't want to dwell on it, but, you know, the same publisher who published Stop the Coming Civil War and Government Zero, which many of you love, Center Street Books, a division of Hachette, has contracted a book from me months and months ago on Teddy and me. A very special book, largely pictures with some commentary. Now, I've been talking about dogs since 1994 on my radio show. I used to have a dog, Snowy, my Sheltie. She was a big part of my show. And I did that for years. So now, this book is astounding. So they came out to take pictures. You won't believe these pictures. The book's not for sale. I'm not selling a book. I got to tell you my weekend. They flew out from New York to be with me. Friday night, we went to a restaurant in a town near me, and we sat in a booth, and Vince Rimini is probably the best dog photographer in the world. Wait until you see these pictures of Teddy and I. You're going to love this book to death when it's available, but it isn't. And it was a way of me getting away from the nightmare. And the pictures of the dog, and the pictures of him, there he is, we're at the wine rack in the restaurant, I'm picking wine. I make believe I'm picking a bottle of wine, these are all used bottles. And I'm holding Teddy in my arms, I'm looking at the pictures right now. And he's looking at the bottle like I'm looking at it, like he understands it, like he's studying the label. You see his face, like there he is, how do they mimic us so well? I'm holding a bottle, looking at the label, he's looking at the label like he understands it. And he's almost talking to me. Well, I don't know, that cab is a little fruity. You may not like it. It's not as tannicky as you like. It's amazing the mimics these guys are. I don't know, I'm mimicking him or he's mimicking us. It's hard to say. But dogs, as you well know, if you're a dog lover, are something very, very amazing. And they're a big part of my life. They have been since I'm a little boy. It's not like I suddenly got a dog and a mascot just for effect. But I'm looking at the pictures we took, me bicycling and him running past the bicycle. There I am in the Hellcat. In a flowery shirt taken last summer when we did the first round of pictures. So Friday night we went to a restaurant, took pictures there. He mainly slept on the floor. He's such a noble little guy. No one could believe the eyes in this. Everyone's dog is their special dog. And then there's all sorts of, then let's see what we did Saturday. I went to the Basque restaurant, which I love. And we got pictures in the bar of Teddy and I in that restaurant. Oh, and there's some watercolors that I painted of him that are going to be in this book. Here's the paradox. This book will outsell all my other books. I just know what's going to happen. The book that's going to be the most fun, that didn't eat my heart out, I know what's going to happen. It'll be like a Jonathan Livingston Seagull. It's so lyrical and beautiful. The fun, most fun pictures are of me wearing a shearling jacket and him wearing a Victorian era coat of the same material. We look like, we're wearing the same outfits when it comes down to. And I have a martini glass in my hand and the dog in the other, and he's looking at the glass. Okay, you get the picture.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Nice, I talked about my dog. I look at movies, documentaries from World War II, and I see the troop ships going over to battle zones. They even let them have dogs on those ships in those days. The guys could drink, they could smoke. They could have a dog. What kind of animals are running the military now? No dogs, no cigarettes, no alcohol. Just Prozac and Adderall. Just drug them so the greedy bums in the drug business can make a fortune. Anyway, look. I'm trying to tell you something about life itself. How do I cope with it? I'm on the front lines of this intellectually. I'm not taking bullets like the soldiers in Afghanistan. Don't get me wrong. But when you're doing this on a daily basis, whether it's me or the others in the talk business who've been carrying the mantle and the flags for all these years, especially me with my mantra of borders, language, and culture, I own this subject. It's a tough row to hoe, as they say. But no one's forcing me to do it. No one's saying you have to do it. No one's making me do this. So I have my own means of coping with it, is what I'm saying to you. And one of them, as I've told you, was the dog. He's a big source of comfort for me, which is why the publisher is doing the book. It's about man and dog. It's not just about the dog or about the man. It's about the man and the dog interaction. You'll see when it comes out in May. I don't even want to talk more about it. What I'm getting at is, so Friday night, one restaurant, then Saturday pictures. Saturday night, the Basque restaurant, which was the most fun. Again, the food and the drinking and the dog, blah, blah, blah. Sunday was more pictures, different locations. Sunday night, Chinese restaurant. So it's been a 48-hour dog thing. And I didn't think I'd be able to do the show because it's very tense having your picture taken, by the way. If you think it's easy, it's not easy. I didn't even want it. I said to her, don't come out. I'm not in the mood. I don't feel good. I've been sick. I don't want any pictures taken of me. I don't like it. I actually don't like pictures taken of me. So she said, no, we'll only take pictures of the dog. But all right, so I took pictures. They took of me. She said, you look great. I don't look great. I don't feel that I look good, okay? You know what I'm saying? But that went on for 48 hours. Now, here's the funny part about pictures. They exhausted the dog. He was knocked out from being. I kept calling him movie star. He's looking at me right now. I would say, movie star. I said, Kate and Vince are here. They're going to take your picture. Don't think they don't know it. He was showing off. He knew he was the movie star. And they start to preen and they show off. Well, this one's much smarter than my other dogs. Some of them have much higher intelligence levels, just like people. They vary according to the breed number one and number two, specific individuals within the breed. I mean, don't tell me they're all the same. Say, all dogs are the same. Yeah, the Rottweiler's the same as the Chihuahua. Sure. Everyone could be a lawyer at Harvard. Take a look at what Harvard looks like now. Look at the lawyers they're pumping out. Oh, everyone's the same. They all go to medical school. They're all neurosurgeons. Take a look at the doctors which are churning out now. All the same because of liberalism. You know, outcome-based education. Everyone's the same in Mao Zedong's China and Obama's America. All the same. Everyone's a genius. Everyone should go to Harvard. Take a look at the cesspools the universities have become now. Because they can't keep up with everyone else. They start telling they're going to burn the university down. That's all. Okay, look, don't get me started. Dogs teach us an awful lot. So I did do the show, and I'm here. So let me read you an email that I got that's very important, apropos, not of dogs. Don't call about dogs, by the way. Not interested. 7:41 p.m., Facebook to Savage. How can so many Americans be ready to put more troops into Iraq and Syria? We spent 10 years there, trained a 200,000-man army, lost the lives of 4,000 American soldiers, had several thousand more come home with legs, arms, and faces blown off, spent $2 trillion, and what did we accomplish? Created ISIS. Our 200,000-man army disintegrated before the first shot was fired. And now Iran controls the Iraqi government. And now 50% of Americans think we can fix that mess by sending in more troops? You people who claim to have such great respect and love for our fighting forces should show some conscience about sending them back to be killed or maimed in another impossible mission of nation-building. An infinite occupation, writes Gen Xer. It's very interesting, by the way. It's almost irrefutably correct. The only way that I think we should have ground troops sent back in there is if there's a draft where all men and women of draft age are drafted into a new military, and all of the barracks that were stolen by greedy people who were friends of Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, and Nancy Pelosi in the San Francisco area, all the greedy developers who stole the Presidio and turned it into a liberal playground, should be forced to give the barracks back when we do have the next draft. Where are they going to put them? Oh, I see. I'm sorry. So all of the military bases that were given away to the friends of senators and congressmen to be turned into liberal playgrounds and hotels, we don't have them anymore. So if we have a draft for a war, guess what? You have to build new barracks. And guess who'll build them? Why, the friends of Boxer, the friends of Feinstein, and the friends of Pelosi. They'll build brand new barracks on land owned by friends of Boxer, friends of Feinstein, and friends of Pelosi. It's a seamless game. It works well. This is how a country collapses from corruption, in my opinion. Now someone writes this on my Facebook, and some of these are really good comments. That's why I love Facebook now, because I don't get emails and I don't get faxes, but I do get them on my Facebook page. 6:54 p.m. The problem is that America now is dealing with a group of people that believe in Syria's global ethnic cleansing. And Obama is trying to deal with this in rational terms. He tried to enforce his rational ideas on Israel, where the Muslim extremists there are seriously into ethnic cleansing. Notice there are no Jews in Gaza, and never will be, as long as Hamas is there. There are Muslims who are your everyday people just like everyone else. So I wouldn't think that the entire Muslim thing believes in global ethnic cleansing. But many Muslim groups are obsessed with power and have gotten the ability to do some heavy damage on the entire world stage. Definitely a global ethnic cleansing issue. Everyone who does not fit their model of the perfect Muslim has to go. Entire religions such as Judaism and Christianity, as well as unrecognized Muslim groups, are toast in their eyes. They are willing to take on everyone. Either Obama is naive or he agrees with them, which is hard to believe because I don't think he believes in ethnic cleansing as unpopular as he is. That's another writer. So these are the thoughts that people are actually expressing. incidentally. So every day we wake up and we hear another speech about you can't blame all Muslims, don't do this. They're so worried about offending Muslims in America, and yet they have such disregard for Christians and everyone else. Why is it that every department that Obama has control over is only worried about offending Muslims and not about protecting us? They're spending more of their intellectual energy on defending Muslims than they are on protecting us from the crazy ones, aren't they? It's a world that's upside down. And so we cope. We go on with our days. We run. We take vitamins. We eat well. We try to get 8 hours sleep. We play with our dogs. We roll on the floor. We eat well. We drink well. We roll on the floor with our dogs. We bicycle. We run. We bicycle. We run. We eat well. We play with our dogs. We eat well. We drink well. We play with our dogs. We watch Homeland and we don't think it applies to us. We watch Carrie trying to warn the world in the last few seasons that the war hero who was a congressman was really a secret Muslim who was plotting an attack in America. And we hear that Obama loved that show more than any other show and had the actor of that show in the White House. He loved it so much. And we don't put two and two together, but we come up with 17. And we go on and we play with our dogs and we roll on the floor and we eat well and we drink well and we take our vitamins and so forth and so on. But we don't take life imitating art as real. Nor do we take art as imitating life as real. We don't make the connections. We roll on the floor with our dogs. We eat well and we drink well and we take our vitamins and so on. You get the picture. And so it goes on. And I'm pretty sure that there are those in this government who every day wake up and say, I don't believe I've gotten away with so much for so long. How dumb can this country be? As I stand here, I don't know who they are. But just knowing what we know about this government and the fact that terrorism has metastasized under their watch, wouldn't you have to conclude that at least some of them are not 100% kosher, to use a word that hasn't been used in a long time? Let's put it another way, that not all of them are 100% halal. I'll put it in a way that you might understand. This is directed at the Muslims out there who know what I'm talking about. Wouldn't it stand to reason that there are some in this government who are not 100% halal in this government? Who may not be as clean as you'd like them to be with regard to protecting American Americans. You'd logically have to conclude that, given that terrorism has metastasized under this administration. So some of them can't be doing their job, or some of them are doing their job all too well for the other side. That's all. That's how most people are thinking. Don't think I'm the only one saying this. Did you hear what I just said to you? Didn't you see the story over the weekend? 72 members of the Department of Homeland Security. 72 members of them are on the terror watch list. Can you believe this? Trump says complete shutdown on Muslims entering. Well, I said it Friday. He's 100% right. It's logical. Trump calls for complete shutdown on Muslims entering the U.S. He's right. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump says he's calling for a complete and total shutdown on Muslims entering the U.S. He's 100% right. Trump says in a statement released by his campaign today that his proposal comes in response to the level of hatred among large segments of the Muslim population toward Americans. Who can disagree with this man? Trump campaign manager Corey Lewandowski says Trump's proposed ban would apply to everybody, including Muslims seeking immigration visas, as well as tourists seeking to enter the country. Does that not make sense? Can anyone raise their hand and say in a time of terror that's largely emanating from the Muslim world that you shut down the Muslim entry into the U.S.? He's rushing them in as fast as he can. From Somalia, from Syria, you name it. What sane nation would do this? Let's make a little statement together. Today is December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day. Many of you don't even know what Pearl Harbor was. It's when Japan attacked our Pacific Fleet in Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. And 3,000 Americans or so lost their lives in the so-called sneak attack. Although it was not 100% a sneak attack, there were warnings, there were implications. I read every possible scenario on that. So that was the Pearl Harbor. Now, let us say we had our Pearl Harbor on 9/11, which we certainly did. Then we went to sleep again. We went to sleep so much that we elected someone twice who was not only not conducting the war on terror adequately, but is doing it in a way that some people even question his loyalties. Let's be clear. Let's clear the air. Some are questioning who he is, whether he's sympathetic to them. They don't know what to make of this guy because he's not clear about his positions. And then we have Jared Johnson and DHS who failed us again last week. Now suddenly he's giving a speech telling us not to categorize all Muslims a certain way. Again, bending over backwards, once again, Alice in Wonderland, the world upside down, right? Upside down, through the looking glass. That's what Lewis Carroll wrote Alice in Wonderland for. It was for Barack Obama and his administration. Loretta Lynch, again, looking through the looking glass, backwards. They're looking at everything backwards. That's what Alice in Wonderland was written for. So now, we have a Pearl Harbor in America on 9/11. Then we had another one last week, if you don't remember. That was last week. Last week. Last week. People slaughtered by two Muslims. The couple next door, the lovely hijab-wearing woman who loved Allah, peace-loving man, Mr. Beard. They read their holy book day and night. Then they gave a machine gunning to their co-workers in cold blood. Right in front of your eyes, it happened. So what do you do the next day? Well, let's go back in time. World War II was declared after Pearl Harbor. If Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the next day after declaring war, had said we're going to bring in as many Germans as Japanese as we can, tell me what would have happened in this country. Not only are we going to not stop bringing them, we're going to bring in more of them. We're going to bring in more Germans because not all Germans are Nazis. That's the same thing as Obama's saying. Bring in more Germans because not all Germans are Nazis. That's what Obama is saying. That's what the entire administration is saying. If you say one word about a German, you're a racist. And it's edging towards violence. This is what we're living with. In other words, there's no common sense anymore, anywhere in this administration. It's Alice in Wonderland through the looking glass. At least that's how I see it, and that's how I say it. What do you say? Is Trump wrong in calling for the complete shutdown on Muslims entering the U.S.? 855-407-282. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2640. We're all puzzled over the junta's actions on a daily basis. So much sympathy towards Muslims from the entire orchestra conducted by Obama, and no sympathy for the victims to speak of. Only a fear that will offend Muslims if we say a word about, like, how come you're bringing more in? Why are you bringing from Somalia? Why are you doing this? Why are you pushing the Syrians down our throat? That makes us evil in his mind. Daniel on WYAB Radio in Mississippi, we have about 2 minutes for you. Go ahead, please.
Hi, yes, I was just calling. I think World War II, Germany is a great parallel for this. I think that the point could be raised that possibly if we had taken in more Jewish refugees in Germany, the number decreased, maybe could have been decreased. There were kills from 6 million to...
But we're not taking in Christian refugees from Syria. He's bringing in Muslim refugees from Syria.
Yes, sir, and I was saying that I think that if we...
He is rejecting Syrian Christians. In fact, there's a case in San Diego from 2 weeks ago of a Syrian Christian family that was already here. They were welcomed by Syrian Christians, and the State Department deported them.
Yes, sir. My point was that I think that looking back in 50 years, I think that if we had a way to vet the screening process so that we could take in good families that weren't part of this radical...
I understand that, but that... Look... There's another solution to the Syrian refugee problem. With all the money in the world being spent on bringing them in, going into the greedy hands of Catholic charities, Lutheran charities, Baptist Family Services, and the other greedy dogs who are making fortunes off this crisis, who are lobbying around the clock to flood America with Muslims, instead of giving them the money, why not build a huge new city in Syria that is protected by the useless United Nations and let them live there until the war is over? Until Assad is replaced, and let them then go and rebuild their nation. Why are you bringing them 8,000 miles to a foreign land where they will never accommodate themselves to the mores of this country? Why?
Yes, sir. Well, my point.
I hear you. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying, and my common sense is irrefutable. It's bulletproof. Build a new city for them in Syria. Let the useless United Nations protect them. And let them build their own lives in their own country, in a land that they are familiar with. Not displace America and Americans for people who will never assimilate.
join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, flag or sleeve or deep. Here come Tuesday.
Look, it's changing right in front of our eyes. The terrorists are gaining ground. They're getting stronger. We have weaklings or fellow travelers running the government. Everyone knows that. Anyone with a brain could figure it out. And we, the people, are left basically naked in the wind. And we're withdrawing into ourselves. We told you not to give Iran the right to develop a nuclear weapon. Do you know what just happened minutes ago? Iran just tested a ballistic missile in violation of the UN resolution. Now, how does that play with Obama and his great talk about how bad Israel is and how wonderful Iran is and don't fear anything, Iran's our friend? Everything the man says is a lie. Nothing that comes out of his mouth is to be trusted, so why should we trust him on terror? We don't. Most of us don't. Terror walks in. Investigators say Southern California probe points to Pakistan. You've all seen the pictures of that lovely face of the burqa-wearing newlywed, the prize that he picked up in Saudi Arabia, the beautiful, beautiful lover of the practitioner of the religion of peace. And there he was, Mr. Holy, with the beard and the head cap, coming to America with a sneer on his face, a hatred that poured right off of him. And he was ushered right in. Come on in. We didn't see this coming. U.S. intelligence community, look the other way, the flatfoots. Not one word. Oh, no, no, come on in. Bring them all in. Come on in. Come on in. All of you, come on in. The only ones you have to worry about are them darn Christians with their machine guns. Media? Oh, yeah, Jake Tapwater, a real stalwart defender of the American way. Right up there with Wolf Blitzer. A lifetime of loyalty. He ought to get the Presidential Medal of Freedom along with George Lucas at Lincoln Center for doing such a great job of lying to the American. The Lenny Riefenstahls of our time. Norway offers refugees free flights to return home. See, the turning of the worm now. All the liberal countries. France elects nationalist Marine Le Pen. Norway paying them to leave. Very soon it's going to be kicking them out. You wait and see. You think right now is the, you think this is how it's going? You're wrong. This is just the beginning. The countries are now finally getting their act together. They're finally realizing that they want to kill all, they want to be, the ones they invited in through their kindness, their niceness, their liberalism. Get it? Do I have to finish the paragraph? I mean, Loretta Lynch is listening. I don't have to finish the paragraph. So soon it's going to be not only giving them money to go home, it's going to be one-way flights, whether they want them or not. That's coming to a neighborhood near you, too, whether you know it or not in your lifetime. Just make sure you're not the one on the plane that they send out of the country. That's all. Just make sure you're not the one who's sent out of your own country. That could happen, too. You could wake up. They could deport you. Crazier things have happened when you have this kind of regime or this kind of junta running a country. So what do we have to look forward to? Nothing. As I speak, the Department of Homeland Security, Johnson, is speaking at a Muslim organization in Virginia. Now, unto itself, that's not a bad thing. What's wrong with that? Well, nothing, but this is a terrorist-associated organization, very well known by the government itself. And he has the stupidity to go there and give a speech today? Wow. So, yeah, there it is. I don't have the speech. He's speaking now, the great Johnson, the head of Homeland Security. 855-407-2828. I should take some calls, I guess. Yes, indeed. Jed Johnson, the man who saved us from the attack that occurred just the other day. The man who was so vigilant. The man who was so vigilant, like a wolf guarding his den, that Jed Johnson. He had everyone in DHS. The FBI was on the money. They were just watching for them. They didn't let him in. Well, they did kind of. They got right through them because they were looking the other way. They were looking at you. They're worried about you, how you might talk about a Muslim or whether you're a nut or something who might go off like a ballistic missile. So this is what America, even liberal Americans are even thinking the way I'm speaking right now. Everything changed. The phrase, the American phrase, game changer. Let's see, 9/11 was a game changer for a while. Boston Marathon bombing was a game changer for a while. San Bernardino, I think it's been forgotten already. Oh, yeah, the average person's partying already. Just take a look at the websites. I'll show you what. Let's go to the New York Daily News. I'm sorry, the New York Post under Murdoch Jr. Here it is. You'll never believe what Kim and Kanye named their baby boy. That's the headline on the New York Post. Two of the lowest forms of humanity are featured on a daily basis in the sickest country in the history of the world. Who would pay attention to these nobodies? Who cares what this freak of nature does? Every day, New York Post, what Kim and Kanye name their baby boy. Hey, you know what? Get back to me when your baby boy's 15. Tell me what great parents you are, you stupid freaks. The 20 best Italian restaurants in America. That's topic two in the New York Post. Ronda Rousey's sad about first ever loss to a story three. Meet the Britney Spears backup dancer turned MMA fighter, story four. Will Muschamp use his wife to prove prowess to South Carolina? That's story five. Let's go down. Photos of other non-entity moron losers with hats on backwards. News. Here we go. News. New York Post. BAM lays out plan versus terror. You mean none plan. London stabber had photos from California massacre on his phone. You ain't no Muslim, bruv. England defiant after terrorist knife attack. Well, what was he? What do you mean, ain't no Muslim, bruv? What do you mean, you ain't no Muslim, bruv? He cut a man's throat in a subway in London? You ain't no Muslim, bruv? He wasn't screaming a Hindu chant. And what did Loretta Lynch do, that loser moron? Loretta Lynch today attacks the Chicago police. That's what that moron, that stupid idiot, Loretta Lynch, that nobody who should be thrown out of office, announces a Justice Department probe of Chicago police. Instead of attacking all of the mosques in America who are preaching hatred, she's going after the Chicago police. Great job, Loretta Lynch. Why don't you get your buddy Ayatollah Sharpton with you there? 4 days, 5 days after the massacre, she's attacking police. Okay, my friend, it gets worse. Lighting menorahs now. I don't know. I have mixed feelings about this public display of menorahs. I know you're going to say, what? What did he just say? I never liked it. I thought it was over the top. I feel a religion should be practiced quietly, not in your face. I've always had a thing with this. I never liked this whole thing with the huge menorahs in public squares. What was that about? I know Jews are going to get mad at me. There's nothing new about that. Get mad at me. See if I care. I have a thing on that, where they got mad at me in the past. I got to find the story, though, if I can. Here. This was years ago from the yeshiva world. Michael Savage slams Orthodox Jewish rabbis for attending Obama Hanukkah party. Dares audience to report him to ADL for his comments. This was in 2009. Michael Savage, a conservative talk radio host, had some harsh words for the Orthodox Jewish rabbis that attended the annual Hanukkah party at the White House last week together with Obama. This was back in, I think, 09 or 10. On a show this past Friday, December 9th, I don't know the year, that is syndicated across the U.S. and heard by millions of listeners, Savage wanted to know what deal these rabbis received for attending the party with Obama and, quote, which sect of Hasidim went there as quislings to sell Israel down the river, singling out Satmar and Lubavitch as the possible culprits. He started off criticizing the president for celebrating Hanukkah 2 weeks early, saying Obama would never disrespect a Muslim holiday like that. But what really got him going was an off-the-cuff joke that Obama made at the celebration. Obama joked that he would give a kiss and a hug to everyone in attendance, except for the rabbis with the whiskers. Savage said, why wouldn't he ever say that to the guys with whiskers who practice Islam? Anyone have an answer to that? Anything with Muslims and Islam, he stands there grim-faced in the White House. They follow it to a T like they walk on glass, he continued. But with Jews, it's 2 weeks early. We'll light all the candles and we'll joke about you guys with beards and whiskers. All right, coming up, let's break some matzah together, he said. But sir, it's not Passover. Never mind. Come on, have some manischewitz. We like a good party over here. Ha, ha, ha. That's when he turned his anger away from Obama and redirected it towards the rabbis that attended. What do the rabbis get for this? The guys with the whiskers. What deal did they get for going there? I don't get this because most Orthodox Jews are pretty conservative. Don't they understand that Obama is the most anti-Israel president in history? So who are these quisling rabbis, asked Savage, who were there with the black coats? Which sect of Hasidim was there? Is there a Hasidic Jew listening? Which sect of Hasidim went there as quislings to sell Israel down the river? Okay, well, that was then. And I said, go ahead, call up the Adel and see if I care. A lot of good they've ever done for me. They're not there when you need them, and they're there when you don't need them. That's all. All right, so that was then. I say the same thing now. I don't know how any Jew listening to this show could ever vote for any Democrat, including Hillary Clinton. When we know that they're anti-Israel, we know that they enabled Iran, they are enabling Iran to develop a nuclear weapon, and Iran today launched a ballistic missile in their first test of ballistic missiles. What are you going to do when ballistic missiles rain down upon Israel? Who are you going to blame, Richard Nixon? The Goyim? Who you blame? The Goyim? The Goyim shot the missiles. They let it happen. No, it's your president let it happen. All you Democrats, all you Jews who vote Democrat, you're voting for the death of Israel. Maybe your own death as well, in the minds of millions of people who know what's going on. I realize this rhetoric is too hot for most of us. I get it. Shocking, making you sweat, making you nervous, rubbing your hand on your neck. Oy vey, what's he saying now? Oh my God, what are we going to do? Muslim leader from CARE tells CNN America. Muslim leader from CARE tells CNN America bears some blame for terror attacks. Thanks, Wolfie. Thanks, Wolfie. Tashin Milak. Tashfin Malik. That's that human trash with the burqa who did the machine gunning last week. That sacred little doll. That pure doll in her burqa. Cleaner than you are. You ever see her? I guarantee you she looked down upon anyone who wore a dress like she was somehow better than the other women around her in San Bernardino. That low-life, subhuman Tashfin Malak got resident status via marriage. And he wants to bring in more. She machine-gunned with her boyfriend and her husband 14 people. Wounded God know how many. The pure as the driven snow. So why did she allow in on? Why was she allowed in on a K-1 visa program? Don't we need more of them? I think we should have more Muslims come in. I think if you're a liberal, what you'd say is we should have more Muslims come into America rather than less. Because if there's more, well, then the percentage of terrorists amongst them will be lower. You see, this is how it works. Let's say if you bring in 10,000 and 1% might become terrorists, that's a certain number, they'll become terrorists. But if you bring in 100,000, then the statistics go down as to the number who might be terrorists, even though the numbers will go up. The statistics will go down, which will look good on Jed Johnson's scorecard. That's how they think. Ask Loretta Lynch, the genius appointed by Al Sharpton. Anyway, you get the drift. I'm just warming up for hour three. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO. Is the Savage Nation. Ding, 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 ding. It's Christmas time. We should put all this behind us. We should all forget what happened in San Bernardino, and 9/11 never happened. I mean, that was as far away as Pearl Harbor Day. It wasn't Muslims who did 9/11. It wasn't Muslims who did Fort Hood. It wasn't Muslims who did Boston Marathon. It wasn't Muslims in San Diego. It wasn't Muslims in No. These are deranged thugs that don't belong to any particular religion, if you listen to the president. Nothing to do with their religion. Where do they get their ideas from, if not from their religion? They read a book day and night. These two, the lovely couple that we hear about, the lovely newlyweds that went berserk. They were reading the holy book day and night, memorizing it. Holy book day and night. Holy book day and night. Holy book. Holy book day and night. Holy book. Put holes in everyone. Holy book. Put holes in everyone. The holy book says put holes in everyone who doesn't believe. You got the ideas from somewhere. They're such pure people. Let's say you wear a miniskirt. You're worse than someone who throws a homosexual off a roof. Or let's say you drink alcohol. So you drink and you have a beer. Why, you're filthy and you're dirty. You're not as clean as someone who reads the holy book and rapes an 8-year-old girl in Iraq. I mean, you have your priorities. You got to understand that beer. That beer is not in that book. So you need to be killed, you kafir. You evil one. Where do they get these ideas from? The holy book. So the problem is, if you're living in a pluralistic society like ours, I mean, don't you have to at some point, if you're the head of Homeland Security or something, say, look, guys, you know, you better look at your holy book. If your holy book says kill all of us, I'm sorry, we're not going to allow it in the country. You have to modify it. It's not in our Christian Bible. We don't have it in there. We don't say throw homosexuals off a building because some idiots are liable to believe it. We don't say stone women to death who commit adultery because some idiots are liable to believe it, so we took it out of the book. Now, this ties into what Attorney General Lynch said. When you think about it, you know, I'm thinking about what she said. There was wisdom in what she said, and I think that she has to look into that. She says that it's a country based on free speech, but when it edges towards violence, when we see the potential of someone lifting that mantle of anti-Muslim rhetoric, right, and it turns into violence, well, then it's a problem. But what if a holy book constantly preaches violence? Don't you think that should be at least discussed at some point? How many people can live in a, how can you live in a country where so many people believe literally what that book says? Now, I told you I've covered this before. It's a very tough topic. I covered this from the perspective of the Old Testament, the Jewish Bible itself, where the same exact ideas can be found. I've said it to you. I've read the Old Testament 100 times, 1,000 times. It has the same things. In fact, the entire Quran is based upon the Jewish Bible. Just look at it. Most of what you hear comes from the Bible, the Jewish Bible, with modifications. And so, how come Jews don't do these things? I think it's because they don't take the Bible literally in every chapter and verse. Why don't they take the Bible literally in chapter and verse? Many of them do. They don't eat shrimp, they don't eat pork. That's literally, but they don't throw people off buildings. Why not? I don't know. Figure it out.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage Nation. Everyone's asking who Jet Johnson is, the head of this shadowy man. No one knows who he is. He failed us in Boston. I believe he was, I don't know if he was Homeland, but let's say he failed us last week and he went silent and dark. No one heard from him. Now he pops up and says, watch out for hateful speech. Copying what Lynch said the other day, whatever her first name is. Who is this man? How can they take people like this and make them in charge of protecting us? What does the name Jem mean? It's pronounced J, taken from a Liberian chief who reportedly saved his grandfather's life while his distinguished grandfather, Dr. Johnson, was on a League of Nations mission to Liberia in 1930. Okay, so now we know. Liberian chief. Very nice. Very good. And he was a trial lawyer for a big firm on Wall Street. He was born in New York City, the son of Norma, who worked for Planned Parenthood. Oh, okay. That's very reassuring. Okay, and let's move on. He was an associate at Paul Weiss in New York, etc. You get the picture. Worked for Bill Clinton, worked his way up, blah, blah, blah. Obama loved him so much, he made him the head of the Department of Homeland Security, where he's done a, a knock-up job, just the greatest job in the world. Fantastic job. Wonderful Democrat liberal. Just what you'd expect. Disappears after a terrorist attack and then tells us not to say the wrong thing about Muslims. It leaves you speechless. This is the head of the Department of Homeland Security who in any other nation would have been fired at the very least, if not indicted for, malpractice? The terror attack occurred last week, and this jerk is telling us not to vilify Muslims. And to top it off, he's going to hold a press conference at a mosque tied to Muslim Brotherhood. Hamas. This is Jed Johnson. Does anyone know who this man is? Does anyone know why Obama has not fired him? Does anyone know why this jerk still has his job? The answer is quite clear, because we have no opposition press, no opposition party, and the people are completely stymied, not knowing why this government is so soft-peddling Muslim terrorism in America and around the world. So, okay, here we are. So who is ISIS? The best I could figure it out, this is a direct result of Obama withdrawing troops from Iraq prematurely. When his general said, don't withdraw all American troops from Iraq because you're going to create a power vacuum, it's exactly what happened. So Obama owns ISIS. He created them. By taking all our troops out after they had died and been maimed, subduing and pacifying the Sunni triangle. Remember the Sunni triangle in the heyday of the Iraq war? This is now the cancer, the center of the cancer. They were subdued. Obama said, now let's all leave Iraq and we'll all get along. Well, okay, he owns this. So these are Saddam Hussein's, the best I can figure out, extremely experienced, murderous, revolutionary guard. Do you remember when Bush went into Iraq, what happened? Remember he stopped at a certain point and people argued whether he should arrest or kill all of the members of the Iraq Revolutionary Guard. Remember that discussion? Well, here we are. The cancer is back. They are the worst murderers on the planet. They're all trained in Saddam Hussein's army. And now they're spreading like a cancer around the world because we have no real opposition in the West. We have weaklings and corrupt politicians. Now, having said that, this is a very difficult issue for all of us. They bend over backwards to, let us say, sanctify the Muslim community and the Islamic religion. And yet they're not too sensitive to vilify all Christians or all gun owners. Every speech out of these people's mouths is about how bad gun owners are. They don't trust you. Now, why do they trust all Muslims and no gun owners? What's that about? Why does Obama have such a caustic view of Christianity and Christians, such as, example, he brought up the Crusades a few months ago, remember that? Never talks about the Muslim crusade that is ongoing around the world. Now, again, this is a tough problem. It's a tough problem for all of us. People in this country are furious right now. They know the government is either incompetent or, let us put it to you this way, working for the other side. And I'm sure as I stand here that there are those within the government who are working for the other side. You say, well, that's paranoid. No, it isn't. 72 members of the Department of Homeland Security, 72 of them, 72 members of this moron's DHS are on a watch list by various divisions of the government. Do you have any idea what that means? Can you figure out all the moving parts to this deceit, this grand deceit that's going on? I think that some of them are just stunned that they've gotten away with so much for so long. 72 people in Department of Homeland Security are what? You didn't see the article? On terrorist watch list. And here's the head of the Department of Homeland Security, Jed Johnson, telling us not to vilify Muslims. Representative Steve Lynch, Democrat Massachusetts, said that 72 employees of this fool at DHS are listed on the U.S. terrorist watch list, according to this Democrat lawmaker. Can you believe this? Now, why is he not being forced to resign? Why? Well, you have to figure it out for yourself, boys and girls. We're living not in strange times, but eerie times. They're eerie. There's so many different ways to say what Obama is doing and not doing, and I'm sure you've heard them all. The only question remains is, what do you do about it? That's the only thing you ask yourself every day. What do you do about it to protect yourself and your families from the next Muslim terror attack? It's not going to be a Buddhist who comes into your mall with a machine gun. It's not going to be a Hindu that comes into your mall with a machine gun, etc. You get the picture. So you can't vilify all Muslims. We know that. You'd be crazy to say that. But on the other hand, people are saying it. Whether you want to hear it or not, that's what people in America are thinking, and that's what they're saying. They're saying if all the terrorists are coming out of one religion, then there must be some fundamental problem with that religion. Isn't that a logical thing to say? Let me ask you something. If you're a Buddhist, do your Buddhist teachings tell you that if you see a non-Buddhist, to convert them or kill them? I have the Buddhist teachings right in my hand, the teaching of Buddha. I don't see anything in the Buddhist Bible, so to speak, because there is no Bible. It's a collection of sayings. There's no leader of Buddhism. There's no head guy. It's sayings. The theory of mind, only the real state of things. To a man, a river seems like a river, but to a hungry demon which sees fire and water, it may seem to be like fire. Therefore, to speak to a man about a river existing would have some sense, but to the demon it would have no meaning. In like manner, it can be said that things are like illusions. They can be said neither to be existent nor non-existent. And so that's Buddhism. Doesn't talk anything about the infidel, about cutting the throat of the infidel, about killing the infidel, about charging the infidel tax. It doesn't talk about mutilating young girls to deny them sexual gratification. Nothing in this Buddhist teaching does that. Now let's pick up the next religious book, and the next, and the next, and the next, until we all come with our breathlessness to the one book that teaches things that you cannot believe are even being put in print these days. So you say, well, most Muslims don't believe that. No, they don't. So what do you do with those who do? Like the two who machine gunned the people last week in California. He read the book cover to cover. She read the book cover to cover over and over and over and over again, brainwashing themselves with the hatred. So if the government says, and rightly so, you can't vilify all Muslims for the acts of a very small number, although the small number is getting a little larger over the last days and months and years, seems to be metastasizing under Mr. Hussein Obama. Doesn't seem to be contained. The virus is spreading. The cancer is spreading around the world. It is not being contained. And so the question comes back to, what do we do about it? Now, we all are stymied by our freedoms, and we are imprisoned by this Trojan horse of our freedoms. Freedom of religion, freedom of speech, Second Amendment. We all love these amendments, don't we? And, of course, we want them applied to ourselves, but not to others. That's the problem. We like our freedom of religion because our religion doesn't teach hatred and murder. But you can't then apply it only to Muslims because their book does teach hatred and murder. I'm not making it up. I wouldn't say it. 132 places it calls for hurting the infidel. And so we're all suffering, not knowing what to do, so we're buying guns. Gun stocks soar. Smith & Wesson highest sales since 07. Sheriff says licensed owners have a responsibility to carry. Document reveals ISIS plot for world domination in chilling detail. Did you hear my guest on Friday, Waleed Shobat, a man who used to be a member of a terrorist group called the Palestine Liberation Organization? Did you hear what he said on the show when I asked him, how does this end? He said, it doesn't end until millions of us are dead. He said, that's the only way anything will change in this country of ours. You know, from having talked to your liberal relatives and liberal friends on a daily basis, that they are brainwashed and they're ignoramuses, and nothing will change their mind. They don't even know about San Bernardino. It wasn't even a blip, maybe a blip, on their mental landscape last week. They see no evil, they hear no evil, they don't connect it to Islam, they don't connect it to individuals, they don't want to know it's connected to jihad and a worldwide war, they don't care. That is the difference between this generation and the generation that defeated Hitler. Yes, you see, America was a fun-loving nation in the 1930s, I read, and Hitler thought he could conquer America as well. They used to laugh. He had trained his boys to kill from birth. Did you know the Hitler youth were trained very much like the Palestinians are training their youth right now? Trained to hate, trained to kill, trained to murder, trained to burn, trained to not feel anything while they take human life. Hitler did that with his Hitler youth. Did you know that? And so therefore they emboldened themselves saying, look at those weak British. Look at those weak Americans. Look at those weak French. They'll never fight back. Well, thank God Hitler was wrong. Thank God Hitler was wrong, because the West did fight back and they crushed him forever. They destroyed the Thousand-Year Reich. So once again, we're facing a terrorist enemy who thinks that we're weak and we will not fight back. And they're wrong. We will fight back. If we can survive the plague of Barack Obama, if we can survive the plague of the psychosis of liberalism another year, if we can survive it, and if that harridan Hillary Clinton is found out to be what she is, which is a continuation of him in a skirt, that's just two ifs, we will defeat them. They will be destroyed. I can guarantee you, as I stand here, the world will not put up with this forever. And it was only because of Russia that stood up to them that suddenly the British are now bombing them. The French are now bombing them. Not because of Obama. It was because of Putin, the man that Obama hates, that there's an actual air war against some, and I say some, of the targets of this ISIS. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2600. So the liberals are having an orgy about Donald Trump, saying make America hate again. The Daily News is running a around-the-clock campaign against him, obviously because they're jealous of him. And the same with Hollywood. They hate Trump. So today Trump calls for the complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States. Just did that. Put out a sheet, released a sheet. And he pointed to a poll from the Center for Security Policy to show that segments of the Muslim population detest Americans. According to Pew Research, among others, there is great hatred towards Americans by large segments of the Muslim population. Most recently, a poll from the Center for Security Policy released data showing, quote, 25% of those polled agree that violence against Americans here in the United States is justified as a part of the global jihad. And 51% of those Muslims polled agreed that Muslims in America should have the choice of being governed according to Sharia. So Trump comes out and says enough is enough. And he said the hatred is beyond comprehension. And he said we've got to understand radical Islam before allowing Muslims into the country. And moreover, the article says Muslim migrants tend to be unskilled, heavily reliant on taxpayer-funded welfare, reluctant to integrate into American society, are under intense internal pressure to preserve their own mix of religion, culture, and politics, are relatively likely to join jihad. 56 Muslims were indicted on jihad charges in the first 11 months of 2015, and to support pro-jihad political groups. And yet, you're not going to believe this, they want to bring in 6.2 million of them by 2030. A record 680,000 migrants from Muslim countries were granted green cards from 09 to 13 under Barry. Also, 2 million people from Muslim-majority countries were admitted to the U.S. since the jihad atrocity on 9/11. So, this conversation is happening. I'm a little different than Donald, because I said point number two of 40 actions to save America in Government Zero. I say close the borders completely for 7 years, but I don't single out any religion or any ethnic group. I have a blanket opinion. It shouldn't be aimed at Muslims. I would say nobody comes in for 7 years. We have had unprecedented immigration into this country, not just in terms of numbers, but of foreign and even hostile cultures. I write we need time to assimilate the immigrants we have, just as we did the waves of immigrants at the beginning of the last century. And I said at the end of 7 years, evaluate our capacity for normalizing immigration with nationalist priorities as I've described. That is point two of the 40 actions to save America in Government Zero. And I think that my point is smarter than saying ban Muslims, because I'd say ban everyone from entering the country. We don't need immigrants. It's a lie to say that we need immigrants, that they refresh the society. That's a lie. The reason that Silicon Valley wants them is for cheaper labor. There are IT workers in the country. Moreover, all of these unemployed kids who are rioting around the country could be taught to do these IT jobs by Bill Gates, by Facebook. Jonathan Facebook could do it. Jonathan Facebook could give money to train these children to work for him, but instead he'd rather import them ready-made for less money. Go figure. Savage Nation, Monday edition. Thanks for listening. It's going to get worse by the day.